time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
A new car alarm attacks thieves' self-esteem. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. The SoundQuest Car Alarm Company announced a breakthrough today that goes further than merely scaring thieves away with loud noises. The company's new anti-auto theft system harshly attacks would-be criminal self-esteem, blaring such messages as, "You are a loser," and "What's the matter? Couldn't get your GED?" Company spokesperson Ben Riegert.
Any car thief trying to steal a car armed with our alarm system will end up in a ball, crying like a baby. I mean, these things can hurt you.
Riegert adds the company is working to develop an alarm capable of projecting pictures of the thief's girlfriend sleeping with his best friend, Roberto. Well, Redland for the Onion Radio News online at theonion.com.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Highway Department Flagman.
Mr. Highway Department Flagman.
You're entrusted with the awesome responsibility of kind of definitely almost telling us it's our turn to head down the only open lane on a two-way street in rush hour.
It's always the other side's turn.
You, sir, take that orange flag and with the dexterity of a tree sloth, make a gesture that says, go! Or is that stop? Or are you trying to scare away a bee?
We'll never know!
Yes, Mr. Highway Department Flagman, you're too portly to fit down a manhole. You don't have the expertise to operate a shovel. So they gave you a reflective vest and entrusted you with our very lives.
Just hit the gas and pray.
So the next time you see a man at work sign, crack a butt light to someone who's not even working and who on closer inspection might not even be a man. Mr. Highway Department Flagman, a real American hero.
Mr. Highway Department Flagman.
Ambiguous hand gesture, St. Louis, Missouri.
And now it's time for the best morning show on radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Sherry in the morning. To join the show, dial 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. And now, here's your morning show hosts, Sam and Sherry.
Good morning and welcome to Tuesday. It's October 27th.
Good morning.
Why do you always give me that look when we start? How dare he take the first words and actually tell us what the fucking date is?
Why do you start with me the minute we get on air?
Because you give me those looks. I don't know.
They were just my sexy eyes. Oh, I don't know what you want me to do.
I'm not seeing that.
I was about to say something nice to you right at this moment, too, but that's so going away.
It's okay. You can say nice things.
Well, I was going to until you didn't told me that I was... But was I really giving you a bad look?
No, it's not a bad look. It's just sort of like a...
I just always look at you for the date because I don't know the date.
I see. Okay. I know. I have to look, too.
I know. I watch you. I just watch what you're doing.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, good morning to you.
Good morning. Just ruined my day already.
Oh, thank you.
Just kidding. You have no control over my emotions.
Oh, there you go. You see? I'm tired of being blamed for everybody's mood, for crying
out loud. I think
you're
just testing me to see if I could stick to my own, you know, thoughts and, you know, quotes.
Probably.
How are you today?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm good. How about Becky? Is she, Becky's your friend?
Yes.
Has she gone back?
Yeah, she's at the airport 2.5 hours early. Like, the only woman I know, or person I know, that needs to get to the airport, like, really, like, what, you know what it says, like, must be at your gate 2 hours before. Like, she's so on top of it.
She's
got to
be there.
I'm like, you have plenty of time. So she's like texting. Not only is she at the airport 2.5 hours early, but she's at the gate, which means she already went through security. She did like everything. And she's just sitting there.
Oh, God.
I hate the airport. Like, you already have to be on the plane long enough. Like, why do you have to sit any longer than possible, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
So, you know, I tried telling her that last night, but it was the lost cause. I was like, all right, do what you got to do.
Yeah, I suppose. So, you just take a book with you. Yeah, I'm going to have to deal with that, actually.
Well, you have to be there lots of hours early, right? Because it's international.
No, yeah, but still. Yeah, 2 hours is enough.
Yeah, you're not an on-time person at all.
That's bullshit. I'm always on time. I'm never late for anything.
Uh-huh. I've been writing it down.
Yeah. Now, have I been late to anything since you've been here?
I think we started a minute late today.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. No, you're always here and you're always good.
Of course, I'm always on time. I never like to keep people waiting.
Yeah, that's my obsessive compulsive also.
Good. Like, yeah, I noticed that. You never came late. You never miss a day.
Yeah.
I love that. That's unusual for this show.
I think it's kind of rude to like keep people waiting, you know?
It really is.
The one annoying habit that I have is that I usually get to places early. And like for myself, like when I go to pick up someone at the airport, I'm the idiot that's like driving around in circles around the airport for like half an hour. Like, and I always tell myself, you don't need to get to the airport that early. Like you're doing them a favor. They can wait for you if anything, you know?
Exactly.
But I'm always like, I just sit there. I'm already dressed and ready to go. And I keep looking at the time. I'm like, oh, just go already. Yeah. Maybe there'll be traffic. And then I'm just driving in circles. And then their plane's late and then their baggage. And I'm just like, I'm never picking anybody up again.
Yeah, I know. But I think people appreciate that in a person, you know, when you try to be there on time.
I think so, too. The only time that it really ever really, when it affects somebody else, I think is when I'm going to an audition, maybe, or a job interview, because then the people feel pressured, or at least a job interview, like to take you early because you're just sitting there, you know?
I see. Okay.
I don't know. But it's definitely I think it's a good quality I have.
Yeah.
Among many.
Yeah. Countless.
Even counting. This morning, I decided that, do you remember the group Milli Vanilli?
Of course. Yeah.
Well, as I was putting on a show in my car, do you ever do that? Or am I like the only idiot that puts on music videos while I'm driving?
Music videos? What, on your phone?
No, I mean, like, I look in the mirror and I'm singing the song and I'm just like, I'm acting out the song.
I thought you were watching a video.
No. It's bad enough I text and drive.
I know.
And now I'm watching. Actually, I have
so you're creating a music video in your car?
Yeah. He did or not. You're just all laughing
That's
at me.
Funny.
Well, the actress always comes out in me, and I've always wanted to be a rock star. Like, I want to be a singer, but I don't have the voice to do it. And so I just act my way through the song. So I was thinking that Milli Vanilli was really popular, and someone should let me, like, lip sync their song.
Exactly.
Because I'd put on a great
Nobody
show.
Nobody will know.
Well, I don't know. I was listening to songs, and I'm in the mirror, and, you know, I could have the tear forming and everything, and I get so dramatic, and I was like, wow, you're pretty good. Too bad your singing sucks. And then these two Mexicans are like in their truck next to them with the lawnmowers in the back. And I'm all like into it and stuff. Yeah. And I look over at them and they're just staring at me. And then I realize I feel like such an idiot. But then I realize they're just staring at my chest.
Yeah.
So it didn't really matter what was happening with my face.
Oh, man.
I didn't know if I was to say, oh, Mexicans or oh, men. Whatever the case is, you're all pervs.
Depends where you are in your mind that day.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
So it was a fun drive over.
Uh-huh.
I think I should take, I want to sing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm shocked. There's one thing you can't do very well. You keep reminding us.
I don't remind you. It just exudes from me.
No.
No.
No. That's I got back shows to play for you.
I hate you. I just play. Yeah. Well, it's one of those things, you know, you constantly just remind people, so then you finally convince them, you know?
Yeah.
Fake it till you make it.
So you never could sing, huh?
Well, okay. Well, I used to have a really bad ear, you know? I wouldn't be able to... I'd be tone deaf. I speak real good English.
Yeah.
I used to be tone deaf. And you know, I would be in like musical theater class and they would have me start singing a song and I'd be so off and I would just see everyone's faces. But as I've gotten older, that actually my ear for some reason has gotten much better.
Yeah.
I don't have a bad sounding voice. I think I've been told that I actually have a good sounding voice.
You can't hit the notes.
I fake vibrato and stuff and that's annoying. Yeah. I think I'm a little harder on myself than I should be, but I figure I just, like, when I do karaoke, I'll go up there and, like, act my way through the song. Yeah. People don't realize how badly I'm singing. But sometimes, like, in the shower, I'm like, wow, you're really good.
Yeah. Everybody's good in the shower.
Yeah.
Until you put on a set of headphones and then hear yourself.
That's true.
It's not the same.
But why is a shower good? Is it because...
Because you don't really hear yourself. You hear yourself from inside.
Our ears are clogged with water. I sound amazing.
Well, no, you hear yourself from inside. You know, when you hear yourself from outside with headphones, then it sounds different.
Huh.
And then you go, God.
And singing with a microphone also is,
yeah.
that's a talent.
Yeah.
I guess because when I was in high school and I was in chorus and everything, and every time I'd get in a mic, like I feel like I'd sound completely different.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, everybody does, just yeah. like you are on the radio.
Yeah.
You haven't
I said
found
yesterday
that?
I was listening to yesterday's. Well, I did, yeah. and I feel like I sound like a man.
Yeah. You yeah. do. Are you
love
kidding? Everybody loves everybody loves your voice.
No, I don't know what it was. Like
don't
yesterday.
Sound like a man. Come
no,
on.
Just yesterday, like particularly, yeah? Heather, Becky, and I, we sat around last night having some wine, listening to the playback of the show,
uh-huh.
and I was like, I'm such a man. We were laughing at so many parts.
Really?
And then they were like, that was so fun, Sherry. Like, thank you. And I'm like, really? I don't think I let you guys talk very much. And they were like, well, it is your show. And then they go, oh, and Sam's.
Yeah.
And
but they are guests, you know. You gotta give them some respect.
I know. And I don't
but
think
you
I
forget yourself.
No, well, it was because it was my friends more than anything.
Right.
But I also was counting how many times you told me to shut the fuck up yesterday. And
I did.
Yeah, she told me to shut the fuck up at least once, and then two other times you told me to shut up. Then when I talked about going to meditating,
uh-huh.
he was like, "Yeah, if you shut the fuck up for a couple of days." I was like, "Wow, I'm finally getting to him." At first he's like, "No, talk radio. You should talk a lot." Now he's finally at the point where everyone else in my life is shut up. I knew it wouldn't take long, Sam.
Yeah. All right, our first phone call
already.
Of the day. Good morning, you're on the air.
Hey, hello, this is Sam.
Sorry.
Sam.
Yes, Chan.
How are you doing? This is your friend Richard, a listener of your show.
Yes, how you doing, Richard?
I'm doing great. I'm so happy that I was able to get in. I was trying to get in on Friday,
uh-huh.
but you guys had a lot of guests, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to call earlier. Before you ever get started with your show, I'm just going to call and say hi.
That's cool.
Sam, do you remember Richard?
Yeah, if I remember, you're the horny man that's 80 years old, right?
Yes. Richard Weissman.
Well, I don't want to say horny, but I yes, you know what? You're right. I'm always humping the wife.
Yeah.
He's like my favorite. I haven't listened to him so many times already.
Really?
Yeah. I was even thinking about going to the corner store, the costume store, and with my wife Sharon and kind of picking up some Halloween costumes because we have an event. We live across the street from an elder community.
Mm-hmm.
We do not live there because we have our own place, and we fortunately have a little bit of money where we have a Mexican lady to come and take care of us.
Right.
She's a little light housekeeping because I want to keep my wife active. You know, I go to the gym, I do my exercises, but my wife doesn't go to the gym, so her way of exercising is really doing house chores.
Right.
Lucky lady.
Lucky lady for the Mexican lady because she's not doing any cleaning. And me and her, we talk, and she tells me about her Oaxaca. She's from Oaxaca, you know, and she's teaching me how to do tortillas and all that stuff.
Yeah. There you go. So, but you guys are able to take care of yourselves. It doesn't matter that you're 80 years old, right? You're healthy?
I am very healthy. I do my exercises. I do a little bit of yoga. I'm very flexible. My wife, Sharon, will attest to that.
Right.
And she's very flexible, and fortunately, sex keeps her very flexible.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She thanks me for that, and I'm very thankful. Yeah. And I'm not as talented as Sherry. I've been hearing the show that she's very very sexual,
yeah.
And that's part of what I like, turns me on about the show, if I can be honest here.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you,
she
Richard,
lets the
I
whole
guess.
World know.
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah, well, there was no way I could call yesterday because you guys they had so many guests on and mm-hmm. all the girls talking and you know, it was all over the place. My head was hurting after the show.
Sorry about that, Richard.
We made your head spin, huh? I know, that's too much.
I just couldn't keep up, yeah.
Yeah, too much estrogen.
There was
in one
a lot
room.
Of women in here.
Yeah.
With big personalities.
I had to take care of business after the show was over, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Morning delight, and then in the evening I have afternoon delight, right?
Yeah, there you go, afternoon
that
delight.
That was one of my favorite things you talked about with your wife. Yeah. You partake in a little afternoon delight.
I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're a very, very lucky man, Richard, because I'm sure not everybody has that kind of a responsive wife, let's say.
Well, how can you not? He takes Viagra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just have to pick your battles, and you're only as old as you tell your mind you are. I mean, even though I say I'm 80, in my mind I'm thinking I'm 40.
Right. Yeah. Well, 80 is the new 40.
That's what I think.
So I'm like 10. I mean, zero.
And I like going to the elder community because I like to surround myself with older people than myself. And even though there's people that are there that are in their 70s, I act even more youthful than they do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're complaining about how old, and especially living there, it can be very depressing. Even though it's a very high-end place, just the fact that you're confined, like you're in prison, mm-hmm. I'm sure that doesn't do anything good for your mind.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you have to be grateful that you can support yourselves both financially and physically and so forth, you know?
Were your parents like this?
Excuse me?
I was just wondering if your parents were like this, Richard. Like, did they give you an example of, you know, this youth?
Well, it was back in the day. It was tough, you know, with the Nazis chasing
right,
and all that stuff.
Sorry.
But they did die at an old age themselves, so it was good. And there's a couple of German ladies across the street, like they're nurses, and you can tell they gave me the eye, like, oh, you ran away or something. You know, they're like thinking, the one that got away. And some of the elders kind of like look at me like they're jealous because I have my own place. So they think I just can come over to rub them the wrong way. But no, I'm just there to play some canasta, some games with the boys, and have a good time, talk about General Custer and some of the stories that we've been reading, you know?
Yeah, sounds good.
In the Korean War. Yeah, well, I just wanted to call and say hello to you guys. Good morning. I really keep enjoying the show, and sharing with Sherry.
There you go. That's coming up soon. You got to learn the other songs, too.
He does not need to learn the other songs, Sam.
Richard, thank you so much for calling. Always
good
love
to, hear
to
you.
Talk to you.
You have a good day. Take
you
care.
Too.
Bye.
I can just picture like 8-year-old man going around the house singing that song.
Uh-huh.
And his but his wife's name is Sharon, so you know.
Oh, is it?
It could work out for them.
Yeah, sharing with Sharon.
He's like, I'm gonna share a little with you.
Yeah.
I can't believe he still has that much sex.
I know, but he's full of life. I mean, I imagine myself like this. I can't remember. I can't think of any point in my life where I'm not gonna be this horny.
Yeah,
you know?
My friend said that yesterday. They're like, Sam really is horny. I was like, just a bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
And that's why I always laugh, because we'll be talking about something and you'll just always bring it back.
Yeah, I do. You know, I mean, everything I look at is, you know, I mean, I see sex.
Me too. Everything I hear, I'm like, I'm playing like every word. We're a good pair. Dirty and dirtier.
So your friend Ricky was happy to talk to you yesterday, huh?
Yeah.
That was the first time you talked in a while?
We had like exchanged on Facebook and stuff. You know, we had exchanged, you know, some small talk here and there, but we've never spoken on the phone.
Yeah.
And that was interesting. And then yesterday when I left, he didn't have a chance to listen to the show. He was busy, like, when he was talking to us, driving in traffic in Miami.
Uh-huh.
So he hasn't had a chance to listen to the show. And so he was wanting to know what happened. I'm like, I never remember right away, like, things we speak about. But we just brought up a lot of memories. He asked me if I was a little surprised that he brought up the Niagara Falls. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, that he remembered. Huh?
Well, he's been listening to the archives as well. But the funny thing is, though, is that my aunt, you know, she listens to the show every day.
Right.
And she's such a yenta.
Yeah.
Like, she really, really is.
Yeah.
Ricky goes and sends me an email that my aunt wrote him. Now, my aunt hasn't spoken to him in 20 years.
Yeah, what's she doing writing to him?
Well, we were best friends, so my whole family knew him. He came to California with me when I was 15, like for my, you know, sweet 16 birthday or whatever.
Right.
So they knew all about him, and they knew that when we stopped talking, like, I was heartbroken. He was, you know, one of my first loves kind of thing.
Right.
So my aunt emails him and says, I'm so happy you're back in Sherry's life. She was so sad after she found out you were gay. And I'm like, why is my aunt telling him this stuff? So he forwards me, or she did, like, the email.
God.
And then he just starts laughing. And so then she emails me last night and says, you know how you had that psychic on the other day and she was saying you were going to meet your soulmate soon? She was like, don't you find it strange? Lo and behold, your ex-love comes back in your life. I'm like, no, I don't find that strange. It's called Facebook. He's not my soulmate, Andrew.
Yeah. For the record, for those of you who didn't listen yesterday, Ricky is the first man to penetrate Sherry.
That's a great way to put it. You know what the worst thing about it, my first experience with him was, and I'm just going to say it. He, don't ever say this to a girl when it's your first time. He said, are you sure you're a virgin? I was like, yes. I was a gymnast, okay? So I already broke my hymen. Leave me alone. I was like so insecure because I guess because I wasn't bleeding or whatever, you know. Yeah. But not a lot of girls do their first time.
That's
just
true.
Don't.
Yeah.
But yeah, he said that to me. I was like, all right, if I had a boner, it would have gone right down. So yeah, no, but it was definitely good to speak to him and hear his voice, and just the whole weekend was so surreal.
Yeah.
Like being with my old friends. We were walking on the beach yesterday. We went down to Venice, and the three of us were just laughing. We were just walking arm in arm, and I just suddenly saw, because, you know, I have a camera that follows me everywhere in my head. I saw, it was like, these three little old ladies and stuff, like, walking down the beach and stuff. And it was just years. Like, it was really nice.
Yeah.
We talked to a few of the stoners on the side, like, about life and love and all that stuff. Yeah.
So some of the characters were there.
Yeah, there definitely were. Not as many as that's normally there on the weekend, but it was it was a good little show for her.
Well, you should have taken her on the weekend.
We were busy on the weekend. She had the U2 concert. We had so much stuff already planned.
U2 is at night.
No, but they left like at 3 in the afternoon for a tailgate party.
Yes.
Any other
9 o'clock in the
criticism
morning.
To Mr. whatever your last name
it's
is.
It's not criticism. It's just
maybe you should have done this. Maybe you should have done that. Our vacation was just fine. And anyway, I don't really like to be around crowds that much like that.
Me either.
And she'll come next time. There's so many places to take her. It was just more about spending time together.
That's
true. You know, we cooked. We had some filet mignon last night, and some corn and salad, some wine. We had a nice time.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Smoked a little. Well, I mean, not me.
Good. Not you. You don't inhale.
No. It was a very nice time, but I, you know, of course, because today is radio day, I left pretty early. I had to say goodbye. My goodbyes, but I will see each other again. You know, I'm going to go home.
Obviously, now that you saw each other again.
Yeah.
So you haven't seen her in a long time either, huh, Becky?
That's what I'm saying, 18 years.
Right.
Yeah. We had it was kind of like a falling out between Heather and her back in the day. Like, we were all 17 years old, and they liked the same boy, and one of them hooked up with the other one's boy, like, afterwards, even though they weren't dating anymore, but it was one of those, you know, you don't date my friend type thing.
My ex.
Yeah, I guess when it was, like, the end of junior year, senior. So most of senior year, there wasn't a lot of contact. And then, you know, when you have loyalty to someone, like, kind of everyone turned on one of those girls. And so, obviously Becky, because we lost contact with her. So for, like, 18 years, like, she just went off on her own, and no one ever. And we were always the three of us together, you know, so. Yeah. But then, like, years later, you know, we just found each other on Facebook, and none of it was ever mentioned. And I actually forgot, like, why we were all arguing, because it was so silly. You know, young. But I made sure, like, when Becky and I sat and talked, and I made sure that, because she was apologizing for what she did. And I said, well, no, we were just at fault. I was like, it must have been really hard for you to have this group of friends, and then everybody turns on you, you know?
Right.
And then Becky carried around for years, like, all this guilt about what she did as a young girl. And she was finally able to actually let it go this weekend, seeing that, like, we both didn't care and still love her and all that stuff.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know?
I mean, yeah, who carries all that baggage for 18 years?
But there was other stuff, like, before that, so that just added probably to it and stuff.
I see,
you know?
Yeah.
Things happen to you as a child, and I think you take it a lot more, you know, your brain's not really developed as far as, you know, like, life experiences and everything, and so you take things a lot harder,
I was actually thinking about this, because I've had, I mean, in my childhood, you know, when I go back to Israel and stuff, I try to always find my childhood friends, because that's all the friends I had, you know. I left when I was 16, so you still remember everybody when they were kids, but this one guy, it's like a couple times when I went back, I try to make contact with him, and this time, like the other night, I found him on Facebook, and I sent him a thing, and knowing he's probably not going to respond, because he's always been, like, kind of cold to me. And then I remember when we were young, I think we had, like, a fallout or something, but who the fuck would remember that, you know?
Right.
But, I mean, you're talking, like, 33 years ago, you know, but I'll bet you he's still carrying something, you know. And then I thought, well, maybe I really made him feel like shit about himself at a certain point
nice
in his
job.
Life, you know?
Well, no, when you really, like, are mean to people as kids, like, they definitely hold on to that stuff.
Yeah.
They carry that around for years, because you don't have enough, like, knowledge and all that stuff to, like, have high self-esteem, you know what I mean? And, like, you really care about what everybody thinks about you. I mean, still people at our age.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You're really old.
Yeah, our age. Not the same generation, huh?
Well, what gen are you?
I think I'm a baby boomer.
You're
like
a baby
right
boomer.
At the tail.
Okay.
Right
okay.
at the tail. I was born 1960.
He said tail.
Yeah. He said tail. Na, 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 na.
Mature. We're so mature. I'm Gen X.
Yes. Not you are Gen X.
I am Gen X. Yeah. I think that's the coolest of all the generations.
Is it really?
So I've been told. This is another thing I keep convincing myself and everybody else. I'm really cool.
Yeah.
So you have a problem with this new Facebook thing?
Yeah.
I don't understand
the
why everybody...
The newsfeed and
everyone keeps like posting about how much they hate it, and I don't even notice the difference.
What does it say about you?
That I just go with the flow?
No, that you don't notice things.
Okay, just because I don't notice blinds being up, I don't notice anything.
Well, you haven't noticed that Facebook has changed, you use it all the time.
I saw that it looks different, but not where it's so annoyingly so, because they did another change prior to this one that just like threw me for a loop. I was like, what is that about? But this, you could just click on some couple of options and you're back to normal.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, then I'll try that.
I'll send you
the
thing.
You see, it turns out you're smarter than most people then.
It turns out you're a little slow in realizing this. Oh, you just added on Facebook. Well, that's because I'm constantly like, it's like attached in my bloodstream.
Yeah.
I shoot myself up with Facebook in the morning.
I know. I don't know what I'd do without it. You know?
I don't either. Like, I woke up, I set my alarm every day for 6:30. Mm-hmm. I woke up at 6 a.m. because last night I took a Benadryl. I had such bad allergies. Allergies last night.
Really?
Out of nowhere. Yeah. I was rubbing the eye, itching the top of my lip, like scratching. I was like, I look like a mutant. I don't know what was happening to me. I'm like, and so I needed to sleep. But anyway, so I woke up at 6, like really well rested. But no matter what time it is, like even if I'm really tired, I'll open one eye, I'll grab my phone and get on Facebook and just read everybody's updates and stuff, like half sleeping.
Yeah.
I'll even write things and then I'm like, Sherry, you have a problem.
Yeah.
I have a Facebook problem. I don't know what it is about it.
It's easy to get addicted to it, you know?
It's just nice to see what everybody's doing with their lives.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I don't know. I'm a voyeur.
Yeah.
But I think most people are, obviously.
And an exhibitionist at the same time, right?
Only in the dark.
Yeah.
Love it.
No,
oh,
but you think of the camera on
you
all
the time,
right?
That's true. I do. Yeah. We kept saying that yesterday, Becky, Heather, and I. Anytime like we said anything like bad about our bodies or something, we were like, love your body, love your life. We were so silly yesterday.
We got a phone call. Okay. Let's see. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
This is Laura Fitton.
Oh, Laura, wow, you beat us to it. You called us instead.
Good morning.
Wonderful. You saved me the call. We saved us.
Good morning. I like to be on time when I can.
Wonderful.
We were just talking about people on time. We enjoy that.
Yes. Thank you so much. Where are you calling us from?
I am calling you from not-so-sunny Boston. I'm actually out in Brighton, just to the left of the city.
Oh, really? And it's overcast today?
Just slightly. Not too bad. Nothing to complain about.
Yeah.
Isn't it beautiful fall weather, though?
Yeah, you see, that's what we don't get here.
It's just stunning. I spend a lot of time in San Francisco, a little time in L.A. I do love California, but give me my autumn in New England.
Right. I'm very jealous.
Yeah.
It's beautiful there.
Well, that's great. Have you lived there all your life?
I was born here. Grew up in Connecticut.
Wow. It's unusual to see people staying in the same place all their lives, you know, but it's pretty cool.
I lived 10 years in a different state, that kind of thing.
I see.
You just got drawn back there.
Yeah.
Plus, they have the cutest guys that live there in Boston.
Yeah, you would know, right?
Well, you know cute guys who live here? Send them my number. Listen.
I don't know. I can't seem to find them out here.
Yeah. If you can't, you might be able to find them on Twitter, right?
That's the only reason why I joined Twitter. I only go on Twitter every day to look to see if there's any cute boys that are following me.
Seriously? You know, there's like 4 or 5 Twitter dating apps now and 4 or 5 Twitter crush applications. And
it's crazy.
Really?
You launch an app store for Twitter and you start discovering stuff you didn't know existed.
Wow. That's one thing that I didn't really spend a lot of time. I hear there's a lot of applications you can use on Twitter.
I can't even get past the basics and understanding it. So this book is perfect for me.
So Laura wrote the book Twitter for Dummies, and that's obviously a big famous series. And so you must feel good that you managed to get an important Twitter book into that series.
Well, yeah, we were thrilled when Wiley came to us. It was way back in May 2008. For those of you who were on Twitter at the time, you were getting to know the fail whale, and your friends were talking about something called Plurk that they thought they would go do, so it was a bit of a scary time to make a big career bet on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
But I had some pretty strong hunches, and I had some other projects moving forward around Twitter, and was thrilled to have the opportunity. I think Twitter Well, it's helped my life in really insanely great, unpredictable ways. And I think when the average person can sample some of that magic, we'll see some pretty interesting stuff happen in the world. We're already seeing some pretty interesting examples of what could happen.
Right, right. And you see, the thing is like Sherry's sitting here, I don't get Twitter. You know,
I don't.
That, yeah, that's one of the things that you hear from a lot of people, you know, because, I mean, once you sign up, there's nothing there.
Yeah, I want to. Every time I go on it, I'm expecting something. And I'm like, no,
it's no dummy to it. It looks like a dumb app.
Yeah. Right here, go ahead. So, when did you first discover Twitter?
You know, I was in the group of people who were reading a lot of blogs in April 2007 mm-hmm. when Twitter really blew up at South by Southwest, you know, the music and film mm-hmm. conference. It actually has a very strong interactive component. And there's been an interesting relationship. Twitter blew up there. And then as a result, the conference itself the next year got much bigger because so many people found it through Twitter and back and forth iteratively. So I found it, I went to it, I blogged how stupid it looked, and I really didn't get it for about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Until one day I was reading a blog post and a guy was saying, yeah, you know, I'm doing this to learn more and for professional development and for networking. I clicked over to his Twitter stream and was just so inspired by the stuff he was talking about and the stuff he was doing. The nickel that dropped for me was, wow, this is a really effective way. I'm a mom working from home. I'm very isolated. This is an effective way to surround myself with successful people.
Right.
And that was Twitter's killer app for me. That was the first thing I really, really got and really, really did on it. And, wow, it's worked out well.
Yeah.
Can I ask a basic question?
Sure.
So, you know, when I first heard about it, I was like, okay, so it's a bunch of like status updates.
Right.
And I just didn't get though when you
why
compare
did
it to
I do
something.
That?
Well, not just that, because I was doing it on Facebook, you
right,
know?
Right.
And so I just didn't understand why people were so excited by this when they were just status updating on Facebook.
Right. And you have a lot more. You
right.
have video
and interaction and all
right.
that stuff. So I was just
yeah, it's a much different dynamic, isn't mm-hmm. it? Right? There's more responding, more passing along. Facebook has since added the ability to comment on your status,
mm-hmm.
and they more recently rolled out a pretty important feature that Twitter invented for itself early on, which is the ability to address another user with a link.
Right.
The at reply format on Twitter.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Facebook has just added that. That could change the dynamic on Facebook as well
okay.
quite a lot, because that is how people discover one another. That internal, you know, linking between messages creates a very different dynamic where messages spread differently. So it'll be mm-hmm. interesting to see how that plays out on Facebook. Meanwhile, back in Twitter, we've been playing with that for years,
yeah.
and it's had some really cool results. Like that photo everybody's seen of the plane sitting in the Hudson.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who snapped that on his iPhone and published it to his Twitter followers had maybe, you know, I gotta research the exact number. It's between 30 and 60 followers. Hardly any, right?
Right.
And so we believed in this influencer model where you need to have thousands of viewers, thousands of readers, millions of TV viewers, whatever, to get a message out there. Here was a message that was so remarkable in and of itself that it went from a tiny, tiny edge of a very huge network. It went all over that network within moments, because it was so fundamentally
mm-hmm.
remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
And that dynamic flow of messages being passed along quickly really sums up what's different about Twitter and why it's different.
That's true.
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
Okay.
Is it a quicker, is it somehow quicker to get to you through Twitter than it does, like, say, through Facebook? I'm trying to see the difference with the status updating, because I want to understand it. I joined Twitter
yeah.
probably 3 weeks ago,
well,
a month
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Well, so certainly something going worldwide and being published on different TV channels and different publications, online publications, within, let's say, 30 minutes maximum
right.
Is something that we've never seen happen on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with that individual photo. You know, and there's some other examples, but
yeah,
the catalog is one of the clearest contrasts.
Yeah, and I think obviously you reach a lot more people with Twitter, because on Facebook it's only your friends that see what you write, whereas you know,
Twitter
here with
only
Twitter,
your followers though.
No, everybody can read it.
But how are they
yeah.
finding you?
They can run a keyword search or something, right?
Uh-huh.
They can find you on keyword searches. Again, because of replies and because of the ability to comment back and forth to people that really wasn't there on Facebook, a message spreads to more of the network faster, even outside of your friend group. So you are starting with your friend group, just like you are on Facebook. And aside from oddball accounts like my account Pistachio, where there's, you know, like, I think there's about 40,000 people attached to that account now. You don't have that on Facebook because there's the maximum group size. But aside from that, just the fact that whether you have 40,000 or whether you have 30, you know, I've said pass along like 20 times already, right? It's just the way the message relay is really what's fascinating about it.
Yeah. Now, so is that how many you have currently, 40,000 followers?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Wow.
Well, now she has 40,001.
It's a little embarrassing because it's not about the follower numbers. I get asked all the time, how do I get more followers? And, you know, frankly, I don't know, because the only way I ever got followers was by being enthusiastic, a little bit silly, a whole lot earnest, and just doing my thing.
Right. And rather than chasing after people, you just hope that people will like what you have to write and follow you.
Well, I figured the right people for what I'm writing will find me.
Right, I see. Well, but that takes a while, right? I mean, it doesn't happen overnight.
Right, but it's not the point. Right. You know, the point is to get genuine connections with people who bring something to your life, whether it's a two-way connection and they become your new friend, whether it's a one-way connection and they become your really reliable source of the best articles being published in any given subject area of interest to you. There are a whole lot of different ways to use Twitter. I challenge people to think about it a little bit like email, not in the sense that, oh, it's just like email, it's just another thing, but in the sense that nobody would say, oh, what's the business use of email and expect it to fit in just one bucket, such as marketing or customer service or PR. Mm-hmm. We know that email has filtered into many areas of our personal and business lives, and we're seeing similar trajectory with Twitter.
Right.
I mean, I will tell you what I do enjoy, or what I have found, is that I'm able to follow people that, you know, I really admire and that inspire me. And so I go on their pages and read what quotes they have for the day. So that's what I get out of it.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's, you know, if that's all you ever get, that's great.
Yeah.
Especially because it's mobile.
Right.
You can touch base with those people through your phone. You know, there was a big ballyhoo this spring when Oprah got on Twitter.
Now I'm following her.
And Oprah's awesome. I'm a fan. I do not mean to slag her in any way by this, but even she hasn't really tapped in yet to the power she's going to have to change people's lives by being Oprah the way she is and saying the things that come to mind for her when they come to mind in the moment from her mobile handset. When she's truly, truly doing that, when she's truly just throwing stuff out there as you know, in the way I do. I mean, I'm not Oprah, right? I don't have her talent. I don't have her media savvy. And yet, for some reason, I have 40,000 readers who are getting something out of what I'm doing.
Right.
You take someone as inherently talented as her and really put her in a position to change millions of people's lives around the world even more than she does. I mean, right now, her fans, you know, she's there online in different ways all the time. You can access recorded shows. You can access this. And she's there live in their lives an hour a day.
Right.
What happens when one of her viewers is in a domestic violence situation on a Saturday night and they just happen to receive an inspiring, atta girl, you believe in yourself tweet from Oprah in that moment? Do you really think that woman's life isn't going to end up a lot differently?
Yeah.
So there's incredible leverage and power as people pick this up and play with it. I'm really fascinated to see where it goes.
Right. And, you know, I mean, you're sort of like downplaying the numbers and everything, but with 40,000 followers, I mean, you have quite some power here and reach.
Well, you know, I do and I don't. One thing we're seeing on Twitter is that the message is the influencer. So if I tweet 20 times on any given day and one of those tweets is, you know, I don't know, some kind of message for your brand, that alone isn't going to have a lot of resonance because it's going to be diluted with 20 other messages.
Right.
I cannot force something to go viral. I cannot force my readers to respond positively to something. They have to want it. I have to be expressing it in a way that's genuinely interesting to them, genuinely relevant and valuable to their lives. And whoa boy, when I do hit on a hair trigger of something that people really connect with and people really feel about, then it takes off, and it's almost completely beyond my control. It's much more random than you would think.
Yeah.
Right. Now, you know, one thing I noticed, and you know, that's pretty rampant, is usually the people, you know, if they're not really famous or someone like you who's putting so much effort into it, you'll see people with, you know, like 20,000 followers and stuff, and you realize once you start following them how they virtually spam Twitter. They create sort of like groups, and they each retweets what they say and everything, yeah. You know, and it creates a lot of junk there.
There is a lot of junk there, and this is another reason I caution people not to obey that follower number and think, oh, well, if she has 20,000, she must be a credible voice. The sheer currency of follower numbers is a devalued currency. There are plenty of ways to cheat your way up to large numbers.
Right.
The number doesn't mean anything. The relevant engaged network is what means something.
Yeah.
I mean, there are enough old accounts, spam accounts, otherwise junky accounts on Twitter that if you amass 70,000 of them, you're going to look like you're some kind of an expert.
Right.
But it doesn't mean you have any reach or influence, and it doesn't mean you're touching people's lives at all.
Right.
So, you know, forget the number. When I have a business say, well, how many followers do I need to be considered successful on Twitter? I fire right back as sassy as I can. Look, you know, who are you selling to? Because if you're trying to reach chief technology officers, you need like 8 followers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you're trying to sell a product that costs a dollar to kind of everybody in the world who can manage to afford it, then you need 40 million followers. Right.
Yeah.
I have like 27 followers and half of them are spam.
But yeah, but I mean, one thing I noticed about it, Laura, is it does require a lot of effort. I mean, you know, to set out the time. I mean, you said you tweet about 20 times a day. You know, that's, you know, I mean, I've spent so much time, you know, trying to find people to follow, hoping they'll follow back and so forth. And, you know, it's sort of like, is stagnant around 200 and something, you know. So I realize if I don't put like a lot of effort into it, you know, it's going to stay a small number. And I say, I mean, I see what you're saying about not focusing so much on the
numbers,
you know.
Sam, yeah. Numbers. Yeah.
Maybe we just need to make better
messages.
Yeah, it's
easy for you to say with 40,000.
It's about putting out there the things you're passionate about. It's about putting out there the value you think you bring to the world. And then the people will find you. You shouldn't have to work hard to grow your network.
You should
just be awesome.
Right.
And put the awesome out there and talk to people and listen to people.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to do a month experiment. I am. I'm going to do a month experiment because I didn't, I was like overwhelmed by like, how do you do this? Because I kept hearing how difficult it was. And on Facebook, like I put out my own genuine stuff and I have people that love it and everything. And I'm just going to transfer that over to Twitter and
see what happens. You got a lot of messages for people that I think would want to read about it, you know?
Right. Let's get your Twitter handles.
Oh, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, that's your name on there.
I know. I'm trying to remember what it
is. Well, yeah, we need to remember those. But, you know, what I wanted to say is when you tell us about the numbers not being significant, it's like a wealthy person telling us it's not about the money, you know?
I know. It's hard for people to hear that from me. And yet, you know, trust me, the numbers bring their own they bring wonderful benefits, and I'm grateful for them, but they also bring their own burdens. I mean, I miss the days of just hanging out with 50 really close friends.
Right.
Okay,
right.
I found my handle.
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
It's Shari G, Shari G 74.
Okay, cool.
And
Sam, do you have one?
Yeah, we have one for the station. It's LA Talk Radio. And then we have one for, that was the previous show. It's Sam in the Morning still. So we have to make a new one. Yeah, we're going to have to make a new one. But I have a personal one, which is Sam Hassan, but I don't really use it. I just wanted to
reserve. You just gave out like 3.
No, I wanted to reserve the name, yeah. But I wanted to say, Laura, that your book, I liked it because I had read already a couple of Twitter books before yours came out. And I realized that you're really hitting on a lot of things that are not just the basics. You know, you're talking about applications that go with it and all the symbols to use. And that sort of thing. So I think your book really is for beginners and advanced users as well.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. I mean, that's certainly what we were aiming to do, was get someone up and running, but then also give them a deeper dive when they want to take it to the next level.
Right, right.
I'm excited now. Like, I want to get out of here and go.
Yeah, you see?
Well, no,
yeah,
because once
energy.
I mean,
Shari, it's crazy. People are changing the world. If you had told me in May 2007 when I was first like, there's a little something to this, the kinds of things that would end up happening. I mean, I mentioned the guy who snapped a photo of the plane in the Hudson. You know, that's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime thing. That's not going to happen to most of us. Here's another perspective. The U.S. Department of State called Twitter. We're talking about a 30 to 40-person startup in San Francisco, a tiny Web 2.0 company. The U.S. Department of State called them and said, do not do 2 hours of planned maintenance downtime on Monday because you are affecting the outcome of the election in Iran.
Really? Wow.
Wow.
It's just an incredible thing to think about when you have, you know, a brilliant journalist like Ann Curry who can add more dimension and depth and humanity to her work as a journalist in war-torn areas because she has this with her on her mobile phone. And she can update in real time, and she can say things that she wouldn't otherwise be able to get into the on-air story.
Right.
You're getting perspective and insight that's just incredible if you're tuning into the right voices that matter in your life.
Well, I think you put
another
it...
Sorry, go ahead.
No, finish your thought, sorry.
Another good way to think about Twitter is it's a global sensing and signaling mechanism. It's like a skin on the earth that can feel something happen in a certain place. Because it's armed by millions of humans holding their mobile handsets and remarking on what is remarkable in their environment.
Yeah.
So signals of incredible things unfolding happen fast.
Yeah. Very interesting analogy, I got to tell you. We're talking to Laura. How do you pronounce your last name? Is it Fitton?
It's Fitton, yep. Rhyme
okay.
Fitton.
Wonderful. And the book is Twitter for Dummies and available everywhere, I suppose. what is your handle?
So I am at Pistachio on Twitter. I had a company, Pistachio Consulting, for years, and when I first approached the platform, I really didn't know what to do. So I picked a name that would be nice and gender neutral and anonymous, and honestly, I probably would have changed to Laura Fitton long ago, but Pistachio got its own momentum.
That's cute.
That if you Google the word pistachio from anywhere in the world, I'm like the second or third result.
Wow. Amazing.
Wikipedia definition of it, and then my Twitter account.
Wow.
So there's another business tool, right? SEO. Yeah. Incredibly powerful on Twitter.
There you go. Wonderful. Do you have your own website you'd like people to go to, or do you prefer Twitter?
Well, I would love to tell people, just because I think I can help more people this way, I would love to tell people to check out 140.com, O-N-E-F-O-R-T-Y.com. Mm-hmm. That is my startup, and that is a place where we are putting all the different Twitter tools we can possibly find. We passed 1,900 of them yesterday. We're putting them up there for everybody to comment on and share with each other, because I think that is one of the keys to helping more people unlock the value of Twitter.
Amazing.
So obviously this is a commercial endeavor. It's, you know, it's been called the App Store for Twitter. But I really think apps sort of put it in context and help people understand how they can make it relevant to their lives.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to change the world.
Yeah.
I am.
There you go.
Do it. My keynote talk at Blog World Expo last week was, you know, how dare you not be awesome?
Yeah.
Put your stuff out there. No, seriously, self-doubt is selfish.
Right.
Because you're keeping something that only you can do for the world under a basket. And Twitter taught me that. I mean, I know I sound like a raving, foaming at the mouth Kool-Aid evangelist. And
that's okay. Join the club.
But it's because it unlocked all this potential that I think people need. People need to overcome isolation. People need more of a home team on their side. We know that the more connections someone has, the less likely they are to struggle in life. And this is a pretty neat way to go about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, finally, it has occurred to me about Twitter that it's, you know, when you have the followers, it's like having traffic on your website. You know, you're able to reach a lot of people and so forth. Laura, thank you so much for your time and for the book itself. And I recommend it to everyone. Twitter for Dummies, of course.
I'm going to read it.
Yes, definitely.
And you're not a dummy. Twitter is very confusing at first. It's hard to see the value. I believe in the future we'll see more things, whether it's Twitter very big or more things like Twitter. You know, think about the early years of AOL when you didn't really know what the internet was yet, and that sort of helped you get started.
Right.
Absolutely. Okay, Laura, thank you again so much. Congratulations on the book and all the best.
Thanks. Bye. Thank you.
Take care. Great to meet you.
You too. Bye-bye. Very nice lady.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. It's cool when you have fun guests, you know? Sometimes they're not fun.
Really? I hear it from my friends all the time. Like, that person was this. I'm like, leave it alone.
Yeah, I know. Well, some people, you know, I mean, they're good at writing books.
Well, that's what my friend said. They're like, that's why writers write and they don't speak. They're really... I'm like, oh, right. I get that.
You get it, huh?
No, but honestly, what you said about Twitter, like, I didn't really... Because people, all my friends kept telling me, you need to join Twitter, Cher, if you want to do these kind of things. And I kept thinking, oh, people only follow celebrities. But I think what really clicked with me, what she just said, is that it is just about the message. And if your message is genuine and you put it out there, eventually people will start reading it.
Exactly. You know,
and stop thinking about the numbers, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah.
So I'm going to go in with a new attitude. I'm going home today.
Yeah, cool.
I'm Twittering while you're away.
Yeah.
I'll have a lot of time on my hands.
Yeah, and you'll find out. I mean, there's a lot more to it.
Mm-hmm.
When you start understanding it.
Well, I don't want to get into all the apps and like be obsessed. Like,
no,
Facebook.
Don't have to, but you want to understand like conduct and things like that.
I mean, I read Deepak on there. I'm like, and Wayne Dyer and like all these people, like I read their quotes all the time. And
so you just be one of them, you know, and the money will follow. Oh no. Look out, world.
Quiet.
All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back right after this with our guests.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
your phone calls. Dial 323-203-0815 to get on the air. Now, once again, here are your morning show hosts, Sam and Sherry.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know this music. Okay, we're back. The guest is not here yet, but as soon as she gets here, she'll just walk in.
Fantastic.
And, yeah. I didn't even ask you if you're ready.
I know. Don't tell me about it. But I know you kind of well.
Yeah, just present the facts.
Ready. This goes out to Richard Weissman. I can just picture him around his little house dancing. Oh, look, our guest is here.
Oh, our guest is here. Come on
Saved
in.
Saved by okay. the bell.
So we'll start sharing with Sherry in a moment.
Okay.
And go ahead, have a seat. Get comfortable. Yeah, and that one. You should know by now, that one. That one.
Sam's not very straight with his pointing.
Okay. So get comfortable for a second. We're just going to do sharing with Sherry here, and then we'll bring you.
Well, luckily it's quick today.
Yes?
Yes, I'm not going to expound.
Okay.
Or expand. Or whatever the word is. I'm just going to read something because I think it says it perfectly today.
Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. It says, love is what we are born with. Fear is what we learn. The spiritual journey is the unlearning of fear and prejudices and the acceptance of love back in our hearts. Love is the essential reality and our purpose on earth. To be consciously aware of it, to experience love in ourselves and others, is the meaning of life. Meaning does not lie in things. Meaning lies in us.
Ah. What do you think, Brenda?
I think it's deep.
Yes. Yeah,
it is. Well, I think if we just carry that around and constantly remember that, no matter what happens to us, we'll just always, you know, be all right. And
it seems like all the negative emotions are driven by fear, you know?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, so what's the lesson to be learned from this?
No, the lesson is, like I always say, like if you just answer everything with love, basically so many people give out love for the wrong reasons. They give it out to get it in return instead of realizing it's just who we are and what we should be doing and just naturally what comes from us. So I think I've told you before in the past when things happen to me and there is that fear that immediately comes up or that jealousy or that anger or whatever it is, I always say to myself, what would love do?
Yeah.
You know, because we forget that that's what we are. That's what we're made of.
Sounds like what would Jesus do?
Yes.
But it's intrinsic. It's supposed to be something you're doing for yourself that builds for you.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
You give it without expectations.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
it's hard to do.
Well, sounds good, yeah.
It's hard to do. But I didn't think it needed to be. It's just very simple, and I read that this morning, and it's one of my favorites, and so
cool.
I'd share it.
Sam. Sharing with Sherry.
We got it.
We got it.
Sharing.
Okay. So we want to welcome Brenda to the studio.
Hi, Brenda.
Also known as Prof. Brendy.
Hi, team.
And Brenda has a show here on Wednesdays, right? You're still at 6 o'clock?
This week, and then I'll be at noon.
At noon, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So, well, this is... after we got the book that we're going to review today,
and
we talked to the author...
Okay.
Yeah. And I thought I should have had you here earlier, but that's okay because we don't have to because then you would have talked and wouldn't have let her say anything.
Like I do. Yeah.
Everybody gets their 2 cents and it's all good. So you have the author here for Twitter for Dummies. Huh?
Yes, yes. So, Brenda's been into Twitter for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's an expert on Twitter.
I wouldn't say expert, but I've been into it for a while.
You're
learning.
Pretty
more of an expert than me.
Yeah.
Okay.
How many followers at this point?
Almost 5,000.
Oh, almost 5,000.
And yeah. I've chilled out because the semester started, and as you know, I'm a professor at Santa Monica College, and I just don't have the time to keep up. So I was gunning through the summer. I had plenty of time, and now I've had to pull back a little bit, but I'm still getting followers.
Yeah.
And I tweet the show, I retweet good friends, anything really technical or sustainable or anything cool I find interesting, a lot of great quotes, inspirational quotes, and that seems to pull a crowd.
Really?
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
I'm telling
you,
people want to hear it out there.
Yeah.
That's when I get my most responses, like on Facebook and stuff, is when I do stuff like
that.
Yeah,
that's true.
Because there's always that one person, like I posted one this morning, and right away the person's like, oh my God, I needed to hear that today. Thank you so much.
Yeah, everybody's having a tough time these days,
Absolutely.
And so a little bit of positive energy goes a long way.
That's why we have our president. People want to be inspired.
Yeah.
Whether they think he was nobody's really going to do anything. They want it to be inspired.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, they want it to be. Now it's not so sure.
Let's not get into that.
Now it's going to cost the pocketbook a little bit. But
they're going to
okay.
feel good, though.
Yeah.
They're going to feel hope that their money's going to come back.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Brenda, how have you been?
I've been good. I've been busy, as you know.
Yeah.
Lots going on between the radio show and my two little girls. We had a great weekend. And
really?
Then, yeah, it was really cool. We did the Malibu Rec Ride. It's this annual rec ride that is done to support the parks, the trails, and all the conservancies mm-hmm. in the rec area of Malibu, Calabasas, that whole region out there.
Right.
And it's done annually. It's a huge horse ride. Of course, it was 100 flipping degrees, dusty as all heck, but the girls were troopers, and then they have a big barbecue afterwards, and it was dynamite. It's really fun. It's
That's
nice.
Cool.
It's like a little cowboy thing, you know, and everybody had a good time, so it went well.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Where's that at? Santa Monica?
Yeah, this is in Malibu.
Oh, in Malibu. Okay.
Malibu, Calabasas area.
Because I just heard they brought Cirque du Soleil to Santa Monica, right?
And I'm trying to get tickets for it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really hard because everybody wants to see it.
Yeah.
And then it's going to the Kodak Theater.
Oh, yeah?
It's moving over there. Yeah, because my company, my restaurant, not mine, but you know, they're going to be really affected by Cirque du Soleil's like moving into the Kodak for quite a few years. I think 10 years or something crazy.
Oh, they got a big gig. Cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then we can
catch
it later if we can't catch it under the live top. Because, you know, if you go down to Santa Monica and you look at the pier, they have the big tent set up, which is really kind of the way to go see it. It's like old school circus when we were back in the day, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of neat.
Except they don't have any animals in this circus.
Yeah, they've got some freaky cool shows.
Yeah, they really do.
Yeah, they do.
Really
I saw them once in Vegas, and I was just blown away by one of them.
I've seen almost all of the shows in Vegas, and every single time, I mean, whether it was Humanity or whether it was the Cirque one, they're all just...
They leave you breathless. Huh?
Yeah, they do, because you can't believe people can physically do this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then they make it so dramatic, like they'll have them in water and these huge...
And the lights.
I mean, the staging is just incredible.
Right. Yeah, I think I saw Mystere, I think is what I saw.
Mystere was
great,
too.
It's the only one I've ever seen, and I just sat there with my mouth open, couldn't believe it,
It's an incredible show. So if
your mouth is open.
I knew you were going to say that!
Yeah.
Right after I said it, because I was going to do it, but I'll respect it.
Because I got to do it to you. You do it all the time.
Well, you told me I have to respect certain guests, so I was trying to not say anything dirty.
That's not one of them.
No, it's okay. I put it out
Brenda
there.
Goes with the flow.
Well, I know this now.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah.
So you asked me why else I've been busy. Is that Sam? Okay.
Do you want to tell us?
A few gentlemen in my life. And I've been getting, more or less this one that Sam's coaching me on. So I
go to
okay, so this is a story. This is a good story. I blow my face out, falling over 5-inch Prada's, actually 5.5-inch Prada's, falling over a door of the Exploratoid. Seriously, 10-inch scar at my face.
Yeah, you still
black
have
eye.
The scar.
And the scar is going to be there for a while. They're doing all this cool stuff to try and change it. But anyway... My birthday, that would happen on a Tuesday. The stitches were on Wednesday. My birthday was in Vegas, and my girlfriends, who are like me with kids, very busy jobs, you know what? Really looks painful. I posted the picture on Facebook. Really looks painful, but you better get your ass out to friggin' Vegas for your birthday. We really don't care unless you're in a body cast. So these are my kind of girlfriends. And I'm like, fine, done. We're there. So we go to Vegas. Showed you a picture of it. Had a great time anyway. Who cares? A lot of sunscreen on the scar. Whatever. Had a black eye. Had a cane. You know, some guys
right
like
in.
That. Some guys, I was a freak show. It was awesome. And then, of course, I still managed to put on my 6-inch heels with me. I'm pulling at least 6'1", 6'2". So it's nice. So I'm rolling around my cane and hanging out. And my girlfriends take off. And I go to this bar, the burger bar. I always stay at the hotel, by the way, because I love Mandalay Bay. But the hotel, they have the suites, and it's very nice. And I meet this gentleman who's quite hungover.
It's a good way to start.
Well, it's a good thing because I tend to be very energetic and in everybody's face. So it's a good thing he was probably like, oh, my God, I can barely lift my head, but let's let her talk.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, we start chatting it up, and he does this really cool stuff with medical devices. He designs medical devices. And he does it in a sustainable way that can be used many times over. He travels all over the world to see surgical procedures, and then he redevelops new devices. It's kind of intense, okay?
And I'm sure you found that to be a turn-on.
Well, I did, but I was thinking the radio show, and I'm like, dude, and so my radio show has probably gotten me more gentleman friends than anything else in my life. I have to say, this was like well-timed. It was well-timed. Well, I'm giving my card out to everybody. I'm like, you got to be on my show, you got to listen, blah, 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 because if you're not promoting yourself, who will, right? So anyway, so I'm like, trying to get him on the show. And then I'm like, you know, I have to tell you, I bought some lingerie at Fredericks of Hollywood upstairs, because there's a Fredericks of Hollywood right there in the Mandalay Shops. And my girlfriend, before they left, took pictures of me in the room with them. This poor bastard's so hungover, and he's looking at me. All of a sudden, he perks up. And I go, I've got my camera right here. Do you want to see some shots? And he's like, holy mother of God. He's like looking up. He's waiting for, you know, the whatever the show is. No. He's actually waiting to be, what do they call it now?
Oh, punked.
Punked, right. Yeah. He's like, somebody's going to jump out. Because what happens? This chick sits down. I have my outfit on. I'm working Vegas. Whatever, I might look like shit with my face, but so he's looking, he's like, damn. So I show him the lingerie, he goes, what are you doing today? I'm like, actually, all my girlfriends took off. And he goes, one of my best friends who lives here, he's in the hotel industry, who works at UNLV, whatever, we're all going out, and he has got all the connections, so I'll join you guys. He goes, yeah, you join us. So I put on one of my hotter outfits with my boots that come up to my thighs and my skirt that doesn't.
You gotta take attention from the boy from the black eye and the cane.
No, you got to. You gotta work the legs. So I'm going in deep and hook up with these guys, have the time of my life, have a great evening, stay in touch with him. He lives in Florida. And this is where Sam comes in. Long distance relationships don't work, Brenda.
Of course, he doesn't think any relationship work.
It's true, but I'm an optimist, and I have to tell you, so I go hang out, I go see him, he comes to see me because he has to work here, good Sam, whatever, blah, 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 I'm going to go see him again.
Did you guys get it on in Vegas, or you had to wait till Florida?
I'm not telling you, I'm a three-date girl.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
But what exactly
constitutes a date?
Yeah. Right, I was going to say, like you had breakfast, and you had lunch, and then you had dinner.
Fly across the country to see someone you've known for 24 hours, whatever, you know, I figure life is short, he seemed cool, we totally connected, whatever, what the heck, he's like, I'm in. So anyway, we're, you know,
he was
along.
In.
And yeah, he was definitely in. But, you know, and he's 6'3", which I'm always looking for. So here's the beauty, Sam. You say maybe not so much with the long distance. I have two little girls. I have two careers. You know, single mom, I don't have time for a man who needs me all the time. Do you know what I mean? And the local boys tend to, you know, they want to go out. They want to do this. They want to do that. I really don't have time for it.
Right.
What I can fit into my schedule is what I can fit into my schedule. So he can travel. I can fly and meet him places, which works for me.
That's true.
Because, you know, I teach online. A lot of my classes are online, so I can do it from anywhere. And then I'm on campus to teach my, you know, whatever I have to teach on campus. So it for one day a week, and then I'm here for the radio, but I can do this remotely, I found out. I bought my headset, by the way. Mm-hmm. So I'm digging it. I'm kind of thinking this could be a cool thing. And he's older, he's been married, he doesn't have kids, and he travels all the time. So
you can fuck on the first date and then it work out. I mean, I'm sorry, the third date.
Third date, okay. Technicalities. Did this count as a date? I bought you a drink. Wait, does that count as a date? We went out for an evening? I don't know, whatever. Technicalities.
Listen, I'm just waiting for you to say the first date so I can feel better about me.
I'm 41 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean, what counts as the first date? So, anyway, so I'm enjoying myself, and I think this could be a gig. I mean, I'm just saying, I'm putting it out there.
Well, okay. I'm really happy for you.
Thanks.
You know, because if you're right. I mean, if you don't have the time for relationships and everything, this is ideal, you know?
A part-time gig.
Yeah.
And you got to keep in mind, with technology, we're texting, we're tweeting, we're, you know, calling, but more importantly, we're Skyping. So
Skype
I can actually
sex,
see
yeah.
I don't
a lot
know
of people
what
do
you're
that.
Talking about, Daddy. I don't understand
the Skype thing. It's the same thing as instant messaging, right?
No, but you're live with them and you're on video.
It's not like webcam.
It's like webcam. Okay. But, you know, at least you have to be kind of in the moment with them, talking to them live, which is kind of cool.
You can talk each other through
stuff. Like I gave him a tour of the house with my
with
my Macintosh. Yeah. And he's like, sweet house, you know? I'm like, cool. So get to know my artwork, get to know me, whatever. But I was taking my Macintosh around. And, you know, we go back to Skype. I think it's a great way if you've got to have a long-distance situation to kind of stay, you know, in the moment with somebody.
Yeah.
So technology has led to, and busy careers has led to, I don't know, we'll see.
I have to say, like, it's exciting because I remember I used to hear people and they would say, I'm so busy, I don't have time to see somebody all the time. And I'm finally in that place right now, like, where if I'm going out with a couple of people, like, I only have limited time to see them, and it feels so good to say that. Like, it really does, because I always had so much time on my hands, and I was the girl that wanted to spend all my time with them.
Right.
And now I'm so busy that I'm like, I can only, you know, if I'm dating a few guys, can only fit you in one a week.
Don't they want to see you more, though? That makes you much more desirable, I think, too. So, and I'm actually very intense and in everybody's face. I have no respect for man space. I'm learning about the man space thing. Mind you, I was with my ex 15 years, married 12. No idea. Loyal as a dog. Didn't really date much since my 20s. And then I got to tell you, I'm learning this whole man space thing. So the distance, and then I try and hold back on the texting. Even when I'm drunk, I'm like, put the phone
That's
away,
hard.
Lock the phone, and don't invade the man space, because they want you more. They want you more. When they think you don't want them or have time for them, they make time for you.
Really?
I'm learning.
It's very true, but I try so hard not to play those games.
And I don't think it's a game, though, but I think it's just genetically Mars-Venus. I truly believe, I mean, I don't want to say I'm game playing, but I kind of think it's about, you know, then it gives you more time to have your life, and in fact, you're not playing a game. You just happen to be intensely busy.
Right.
So you're not purposely like sitting around the house doing nothing and
then not answering
them.
Right.
Right. The only tough time is again when you're drunk and you don't want to pick up the text because those text messages get ugly.
Well, I just read something completely different. Like they'll be saying like, "Hey, I want to stick my cock in your mouth," and I'm reading, "I'm so in love with you, let's get married." I'm like, okay.
No, you don't want to say okay to those.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, no, you kind of do.
You have to love. Yeah, you do. Well, it depends on your, you know, wherever you're at.
If you're as dirty as I am, yeah, you do.
You know, you want to lock down on the floor. Flipping drunk texting because I get it the next morning. I'm like, holy mother of God, what did I really type? Yeah. So I'm trying to be better about that, but that's a dangerous weapon.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Skyping when you're drunk too isn't so good either.
Yeah. So you like to drink?
I do drink.
Yeah.
I like it.
Socially or?
Socially.
What's in your bag? You have a big bag.
I have a flask with me. I try to hold off when I've got the girls. I don't do the hard stuff anymore because it just, the older I get, I don't know if you've noticed this, but when you get older, like the stuff hits you, caffeine hits you harder, alcohol hits you harder. So I pretty much in like a Pinot Grigio Amstel Light girl. And then when I have the kids, I try to lay off of it until they're driving me flipping nuts. And so, six or seven at night, I'm like, okay, I gotta have a fucking drink. Excuse me, but I'm gonna have my Amstel Light or my Pinot Grigio. I try and keep it lighter, like red wine. It helps, but you know, it's.
Yeah.
You got to do what you got
to
do.
You
baby.
Do. You and do. I, to I, stay sane. You
I
know?
Guess that'll happen to me because I walked in the bar the other night and was like, shot a Jaeger. I'm like, Sherry, you're 35.
If you can handle it, because I couldn't.
I was just trying to make it quick.
It's recent that this has happened where I just cannot handle what I used to be able to handle. And then, you know, other bad habits have come up recently. And it's, again, because of the process of the divorce, having the kids full time when I have them is insane. Mm-hmm. I've taken up smoking, which is disgusting to take up because, you know, I'm an athlete and I still work out.
Right.
And I've been a triathlete for years, a hardcore runner. Or 10 miles a day for years and years and years. This summer put me over the freaking edge with the kids because I had them and they didn't have camp for like 10 days when the ex was in Costa Rica. So I'm like, oh, cigarettes look good. So and now, you know, and then I was a pack a day the next day because it's not like I'm obsessive compulsive disorder or anything.
Yeah, you just do a lot of.
I'm intense. So then I'm trying to back off from the cigarettes. But, you know, it's a very California thing and a very now United States thing. Whereas in Europe, people kind of balance it. Well, they'll have two or three cigarettes a day, they'll have their wine a day. But, you know, it's that whole Americana intensity. Everything's
too much,
too much of everything. So if you can kind of incorporate a different, more mellow approach on all these vices, I think you can live. And I only took it up at 41, so we'll see.
Yeah, but you know what? That sounds good in theory, you know. But
but they do it though. They balance it. You know, they're not like constantly chain and doing all the stuff. They have their glass of wine with dinner.
With me, it's like I got to do a lot or nothing, you know.
Right. Well, you're intense too.
That's
the
problem. Yeah.
But you look at the French, and they
usually it's intense people that smoke cigarettes, by the way.
Yeah, or run too much.
If you know,
or do everything too much. So it's just that kind of way, but it's type A behavior. But then you look at, you know, when you go to France and you see these people living very long lives, they drink their wine, they have their cigarettes, they eat, they're not fat, but they're, you know, balancing their portions, they're eating whatever they need. But in America, it ain't that way, baby.
Yeah.
Whatever. Capitalism breeds what it breeds. We're an intense culture.
Yeah, very intense. Very intense.
And fast-paced.
Yeah.
You know what I heard from everything you just said? Don't have children.
Yeah. Do you know what?
Because you were like, oh my God, 10 days with my kids. No. I was like, my heart's beating. I'm like, this is why I don't have kids.
They're 4 and 7 and they're very active at this age, and it's a lot. And people have told me they have no idea. Because a single parent is one thing when they're a little bit older.
Yeah.
But now they need you so much and you want to be available. But I have all these careers I'm doing and I'm very independent. I had them later in life, so I was kind of set in my ways. Mm-hmm. But no. I've had people tell me, you know, children are not sustainable because the whole sustainability thing, whatever I talk about. And I'm like, I understand. That it does, you know, excess population, whatever, but I kind of like my two. And when I don't have them around, I miss them right away. So I know,
there's definitely people out to be parents, and I know parenthood is great, but it's funny, every parent that I know is just like, I just want to go and do this, or I just want to do that. And they love their children more than life, but not having them,
I'm
like...
But you have to admit that it does get in the way sometimes.
Right? Or it's at the ages, too, because look at yours as teenagers. They don't want to go everywhere that dad wants to take them anymore,
right? So I'm trying to go anywhere.
Well, I'm trying to embrace the enjoyment of the pleasure of them wanting me now, because I know it's going to turn
exactly
quickly.
Exactly. Enjoy it.
It's just a lot. You know, it's overwhelming, but it's okay. You know, you balance it. You try to balance it. You know,
with
I have
Skype
my moments.
Sex and
Skype
alcohol,
sex and, and alcohol and cigarettes.
Good balance. So, okay. I like it.
And this is, again, why the long distance things can really work out. Uh-huh. It depends on your lifestyle.
In your case, it does work, I think.
Because I need to be with the kids when I'm with them. I don't have them all the time. When I'm with them, I have to be 100%. So I have to turn the computers off. And you know I'm a freak because I'm online all the time. I teach computer applications. Oh, I have five computers in the house.
Oh, geez.
And I have to turn everything off and step away from it all, because I could be working with people all the time and all my different projects and committees, blah, blah, blah. So I got to very focus on, okay, I've got the kids right now. They're not going to want to be around with me in a few years. I got to turn everything off and play with the dollies and have a tea party. Done. Right. Got to do it. I mean, it's great.
Reason number two not to have kids.
Oh, tea party.
No dolls and
great.
Tea party.
Oh, no. The reason not to have dolls, have you hit American Dolls? You don't have these.
I know what they are.
$450. I walked
what?
Out with two.
Really?
My mom says, I'll buy him this for the birthday, whatever. Okay, so I get two American Girl dolls, a couple of accessories. I walk up to the cash register. $450 flipping dollars later. I was like, holy mother of God, it's down at the Grove. But they actually play with these dolls because they're so amazing. The dolls are amazing. They have all these cool things you can do with them. But they play with them. I think we're actually making it work. I mean, I to make it worth the money that was spent.
Yeah. They're so big. I think in New York they have a restaurant for American Dolls.
They do.
And they seat you. They give you a chair for your doll and
really?
Everything.
Oh, well, they have a hair salon here at the Grove. that you can sign your doll up to have hair salon cuts. And they have parties that must be insane. But, you know, depreciating asset. I hope we're getting enough money's worth, $450 of playing these fucking little things, because they're expensive. I mean,
oh,
Jesus.
My God.
That's
expensive.
Well, kids are expensive, but that's life. That's why I'm
true.
Working harder
reason
and trying
number
harder. See, she's working.
I've got
you
a
know
checklist.
What's going to happen? You
I'm
going to
get
gonna...
pregnant. No, I'm not.
No, it's not that you're going to get pregnant. Something's because I wasn't going to have kids. I go in. This is kind of another funny. I'm like married 8 years at this point, whatever. I really wasn't thinking about kids. I had my career, a million things going on. Go see my OB for my annual exam. And she goes, I want to show you something. So she whips out this spectrum or whatever it's called and shows me my eggs. And inside, you get to see these eggs. She goes, I want you to understand, you're losing eggs. This isn't going to last forever. And if you think you're going to have kids when you're 40, those odds are statistically off. Most people can't get pregnant when they're in their 40s. You hear great stories because they've done so much in vitro, spent a lot of money, and the eggs aren't as good. So then you run a higher risk of, what is it, the kids have the Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. So all this stuff happens. And I'm like 30-something, you know, around your age. And I'm looking at these eggs going, oh, my God. I wasn't going to have a kid, but she's showing me these eggs, and she's giving me. And she's a doctor. She's an intense doc, and she had two little kids, and she goes, you'll make it work. And I'm like, okay, first try. This is funny. First try, we got knocked out.
Really?
8 years together, first freaking, and my ex is like, wow. I call him up, and he goes, I thought we got to have more practice at this. And I go, sorry, baby. I'm Myrtle Fertile. Our eggs and sperm work. I'm knocked up. Uh-huh. Here we go. Let's see how this rolls. And then had the first one. Don't want to have the second one. I'm online teaching. And all of my students, several of my students have singletons. They have one kid. And they were all, you know, I'm like, I have one kid. And, I don't know if I'm going to have another one. It's very intense. They're like, Brenda, whatever you do, Prof. Brendy, have another kid. Because what happens is you have to spend so much time entertaining the singleton, finding playdates for him, that, you know, they will bicker, they'll fight, which they do madly, don't kid yourself. But there is that, as they get older, they've got each other.
Yeah, they entertain themselves.
They have each other. Yeah, and now I'm 41, I got a brother who's 3.5 years older than me. And as we get older and my mom's getting older, I'm starting to realize, you know, as much as we're at odds, not that much because he's so much taller and bigger and wiser that I followed everything he said. But I've got to say, now as an older sibling relationship, I need him and he needs me, and we're counting on each other more. We talk about raising kids, how we're dealing with our families, how we're going to deal with mom, how, you know what I mean? So it's become more intense, and I'm glad I did. It's a lot. And I don't have help. I don't have a nanny. I have somebody who comes to clean once every 2 weeks sometimes, and the rest of it's up to me. And I chose that
tough.
Because if you're going to have kids and you want to outsource it, why the hell have them? I mean, I tried the nanny thing for a year, and baby started calling her mama. I said, fuck this.
The hell with that.
I had this baby. This is my baby. I'm going to make it work, damn it. I'm not going to outsource this shit. So I have a little daycare, but you know what? If you're going to have them, all these people that have 10 people
I'm not going
assisting,
to her doctor. Her doctor's going to show me my eggs.
And then she'll be like, Jerry, you need to get on this now. And then you're going to go, oh, got to find the man.
I like
want to
flick
man.
Them back in her face.
No.
Take them.
Take them away. Oh, but it's good. It's fun. fun. It's a good
thing.
I'm
sure it's a great thing.
And if you find the right man, you know what? Even if you don't find the right man, because you can do it on your
own. Everyone tells me that. They're like, Sherry, once you're in love and you're married, like, you're going to look at your husband or whomever, and you're going to be like, I want to bear your children.
Right. When I look into your eyes, I see the eyes of my children.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, you've got so much love to give. I do. I can totally
you're
see
you're a
very
loving
kids.
Person.
I
yeah.
think
I do have
kids.
A lot of love to give, but it doesn't. I mean, it could be someone else's children, right?
That's true.
Oh, see, yeah. I'm all about that, too.
Yeah.
I
don't think that I wouldn't be a good mom, well, except that I don't know how to hold a baby.
I never babysat. I didn't know shit. I mean, to tell you I didn't know anything about having a kid, I just, you get it.
I'm just
you
in the place where I want to do so much with my life, and I want to travel, and I want to do all that stuff, that I don't want to be a selfish mom, and I would be. I know right now I would be.
Right.
You know, that I'd be like, ugh, they'd be a hassle to me, even though I love them.
But you know what? They're going to end up going to therapy for any other reason under the sun.
Right.
So
they all do. Who wants to do that to a child?
Well, no, but I mean, whether you're a good parent or a bad parent, they're going to end up being happy with something. So give it your best shot. Yeah. Try every day to give a little bit of love to them. Cuddles and reading. That's the way I roll.
Yeah.
October in 2012, I'm supposed to have twins or something.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
The psychic told me. No.
Nice.
That's the biggest irony of them all. I don't want kids.
Good luck with that. Yeah. Get back. It'll be interesting to follow that chart.
Yeah.
But, you know, taking on other kids, now that I have two, I date men that are willing to take on kids that don't want. I don't want more because I can't handle more with everything I've got going on. Right. So I make that very clear. Mm-hmm. And then they say, okay, I get it. And they have to be willing to take on mine in a way. I mean, granted, I've got an amazing ex-husband who's very involved with their lives. But he would have to, man in my life would have to go, okay, I'm kind of going to take on her kids. And that's the way it's going to roll. Or you're out.
Yeah, yeah.
You're out.
Yeah.
Done. You know?
There
and
you go.
And
it's a whole package.
You and Dina didn't have kids.
No.
Yeah.
But my ex got married again, and now he's got a whole package to deal with.
Did they have kids?
No.
Did they have more? Okay. But
no.
he took on yours with her. Okay.
Yeah. Didn't have a choice.
Did you plan your children? Or?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, we did.
Huh. You
but
never know.
Yeah, then we got divorced.
Hey, it's a journey, man.
Right.
It's a journey.
Yeah.
And if you look at every day...
But it's tough, you know. I mean, you want to make sure that you really want to spend the rest of your life with that person.
Right.
Don't get married for any other reason.
Yep.
Other than, I want to be with this person.
Right.
Yeah. And not just because you want to have kids, not because you think they've got a lot of money. They better have a sense of humor, and you better be able to hang out with them 24/7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
And you know, not even
so
if
I'm going to marry myself.
Yeah, there you go.
I love my own company.
Yes. But there's someone out there just like you, I'm sure. You'll be amazed.
God, I'd be overwhelmed with someone like me. I'd be like, shut up.
Yeah, but that's true. Like, I always have to find someone who's a little less
bit less.
She needs someone timid and quiet.
Well, no. I need to be entertained, but they need to know when to be quiet when I'm talking.
You can train them.
Yeah, but I want them to be super funny too, and I want to have like a great time with them, and I want to laugh my ass off with them.
Right.
You know, I don't want us to be competing.
Now you
see
why she's not finding anyone.
No.
She's got like a million things that they need to have.
No, it's not. I said be funny and love me. That's really what I was saying, because I think when you love me so much, or you love someone so much, everything that they do is beautiful. So you would want to shut your mouth.
Yeah, but you want a big cock and a
hot guy. Okay, no, I never said size matters.
No,
I never said that.
Oh, really? Okay, then I assume that.
Ocean of emotion.
Thank you. You can do lots of other things. You can tell me how big it is and I'll believe you. As long as you say it really dirty and really well.
And you've got a lot of rhythm in your hips.
Pretty much.
She knows where I've been. She's been there too.
I'm next to you at the bar having the shot while you're sipping on the Pinot Grigio.
It's okay. I'll be standing outside having the cigarette trying to get you to
smoke. I love wine, but when I drink, like, it's
you're,
not...
You're there
I
to
drink. Just, right, so I'd have to, like, shoot wine and you can't really just
shoot.
Do that.
No. Well, I mean, when I do, vodka and tequila are my killers.
I'm a vodka girl.
I'm a tequila bitch, and so I have to really watch my tequila.
I can't do tequila at all.
What do you drink?
Nothing.
Barely anything. Yeah, if I drink, I drink beer. Maybe sometimes like 7 and 7, you know, whiskey.
I want to give you some shots and just see what happens.
Has that changed?
Oh, nothing would happen. You see, that's the thing. I don't get drunk.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. Yeah.
So that's why
I can hold it too. Yeah.
That's why I don't drink.
Do you really not get drunk, or you just don't think you are?
No, I don't. I don't. I mean, I've tried several times. I mean, it's just like.
So you've always been this way.
I mean, you know what? The point is, I can't even handle drinking the alcohol, to the point of being drunk, you know. So, maybe if I could drink more or just enjoyed it more, maybe I would.
Don't spill your water bottle tomorrow morning.
Yeah, okay.
I like the way he rolls. Yeah. Vodka, he won't smell it.
I know.
It'll just hit him.
What do you think's in mine?
I'm coming back for that show. Woohoo! I'll bring my flask.
I'm already excited.
Listen, folks, we're going to take a short break, okay?
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
Is that okay with you?
I didn't think I had a choice. This one somebody said, no, I want to keep talking.
Keep talking. I'm sure you won't stop even during the break, so it doesn't matter. We'll be back right after this.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real talk station, your real 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
Okay, Sherry?
I'm fine. I was thinking about trying to think about a Halloween costume even though I'm working. And when I was going to sleep, suddenly that commercial came in about, you know, two people save the world. And I'm like, I'll just be Super Sherry, but no one would get it.
No.
No. Sam and Sherry show. No one would get it.
No one would get it.
Get a big red cape. It'd be good.
Yeah, with a big yes on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like Supergirl
to me. Except that I'm working in the restaurant and I might look a little weird.
Yeah.
So I'm serving people food.
Are you going to wear any costumes, Brenda, this
year? Yes. And if I told you what it was.
It's hoary, isn't it?
No, it was last year and it didn't go over very well at my daughter's prep school.
Oh. Really?
So, oddly enough, I had to cover up with a big raincoat because the headmaster just looked at me funny. Okay, so
get a little closer to the mic.
Oh, I'm sorry, y'all. Yeah. So this year I'm going to go as a clown because my mom had built this giant, clown. It's huge. It's an enormous clown costume because my mom's 6'1".
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to float in this thing. I got the girls are excited. I got the wig. I got the nose. And I got the big shoes. I'm going to be a clown. It's really not that sexy.
That.
But the headmaster will approve on Friday. So
that's
we're
great.
Trying to appeal to the audience.
I see.
That's really great.
Please don't put up any pictures.
Now if you were last year's
costume. You don't want to look like a fool.
No, I could put up, if I told you. But I can put up last year's picture.
That's
hot.
Yeah. What'd you wear then? Yeah.
I was kind of the devil, and I had a little body leotard on and a little thing, tail thing with a little thing with the ears.
With the
and
horn.
It wasn't really appropriate.
But that's what Halloween's for, though. It gives every
to
girl
what
permission
you
to be skanky and like get away with it, because they all have an inner
whore.
Okay. So, my God, Fredericks of Hollywood in Vegas. I'm going to Fredericks of Hollywood a few weeks back, right? And I get lingerie, but you should see the costumes they have at Fredericks of Hollywood.
Really?
We're talking nasty and fun, and I was almost going to get it, but again, headmaster in the back of my mind thinking no. But they had some sweet ones. They had a little school teacher one, which would have been perfect, right?
Yeah.
Professor. So I was thinking that school teacher one, but then I saw this nurse one, and then there was this badass cop one. And the cop one got me excited. That one, I was like, damn.
There's some hot costumes. I don't wear skimpy stuff, so I just went as a proctologist one year. And I like had the jacket, and it said proctologist, but I carried around, like, I had a rubber glove on my hand and a dildo.
Did you get any work that night? Did you?
I pulled in a couple of guys. But
the dildo, not the rubber glove, I'm sure.
Dildo.
But I made her pretty hot, though. I mean, her, me. I had, like, the glasses on and the hair up and stuff like that. Yeah, uh-huh. And I was carrying it around. It was kind of sexy.
It's kind of sexy for someone.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Well, because I won't wear skippy clothes. So.
Yeah, I'm into ass.
What are you going to be, Sam?
You know, I think that costumes are not for adults. I think they're for kids.
Oh,
you
please.
You just
I feel so stupid.
Me. I'm 41 years old. You're not that much
No,
older.
I mean, I'm not
I'm
criticizing you. I'm just saying, for me, it feels kind of stupid to wear
really?
Anything. Yeah.
I think you and Gina should go with something like Batman and Robin.
Yeah,
or
right.
Sexy.
Yeah.
And then you could like show.
I guess that's a good idea.
School.
If you go with someone else, you don't feel like such a fool, huh?
Right. Yes. Go as the hot dog in the bun.
I like that one.
Yeah. I don't know. You're still that's like the young spirit in there. That's what Halloween is. Like I just always thought it was so fun. And unfortunately, I cannot do anything this year because I'm working. But it's one of my favorite holidays.
Really?
That and New Year's.
If it makes you feel better, my 73-year-old mother dresses up every year, makes her own costumes.
Really?
And
so
husband.
She's into it.
Oh, she's into every party under the sun. She's up in Reno, Tahoe, and she takes on that.
That's
place
cool.
by storm.
See, adults should not be trick-or-treating, but you can dress up and go to parties.
She has a ball. Oh, my God, yeah. They have a good time with it. And you have to, because it's like we were talking about, youth is in your heart, and all that good stuff is what keeps you going every day.
Yeah.
And positive
but where am I going to wear it to? I mean, every adult I see wearing a costume, like...
You go to a party.
They look so stupid.
You got to go to a party.
That's the worst
they
thought
do.
Ever.
You know what?
I mean, you see one walking into Starbucks or something. I mean, come on.
Put on a costume and see how it makes you feel. Like, you'll have fun again.
Yeah.
Like, really, you're just only judging because you haven't done it in
again.
So long.
Sam has fun every
Why
day.
Why don't you go as a book? Okay? <'cause>
Shut up.
There we go. There's number one.
But just go to a party.
Yeah.
Find a party to
no,
go
that's
to.
No, that's true. That's true. You can go to a party and then...
There
look
really
like
is.
A fool with everybody else.
That's it. And wear your mask, and then they won't know it's you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See? Then you can go and stare. You can, like, you know, oogle at all the girls, and they won't even know that you are.
Yeah.
She got a mask on.
Sam would never do that.
I know.
No, but you know, actually, I got to admit that a few years back when I was still married with my first wife, We went to a party and I dressed up as a woman.
Oh, I would have loved to have seen that.
With a wig and everything.
Were you a good-looking woman?
No. Okay. No, I was terrible looking as a woman.
How'd you go over with the heels? Was it hard to walk?
It was hard to walk.
Right. Uh-huh.
And I had like fishnet stockings.
Oh my God, did you shave your legs?
No, I didn't shave my legs.
Oh, that's so nasty.
But you couldn't really see anything. No.
So need to see this picture.
I do still have it somewhere.
Oh my God, post it on Facebook.
Know, with like boobs and everything.
I would love to see that.
You know what? Paste it on Twitter.
Yeah.
That's how you'll get followers. LA Talk Radio.
Well, they'll be trannies, but they'll be
followers.
They're
followers. That's awesome.
Yeah, I know. What does it say about me, though?
I mean, now I can see why you never dress up again. You probably were like, we're scarred after
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was traumatized.
It says you're open-minded. You're metrosexual. Yeah. You're comfortable with your sexuality.
Maybe.
That's what
I don't
it says.
Know. It sounds like you lost a bet.
With your ex-wife.
But the funny thing was, many people didn't recognize me at the party.
Really?
Yeah.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
I'd say so. I really want to see this picture.
I have to find it. I have
you just say fishnets, and I'm like, yeah. Okay, I'm in. I gotta look. That's hilarious.
Yeah,
that's
I actually need to buy some lingerie. And so, other than Fredericks of Hollywood, I was trying to. Where do you go to get? You know those sexy stockings that clip to garters?
Yeah.
I've had a personal request for this.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out.
Is this by your Florida lover?
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. But I'm trying to figure out. Other than Fredericks, I mean, because there aren't a lot of places. I guess I should just look online. But I mean,
what about Victoria's Secret? They don't have that
they
kind
don't
of
get
stuff.
To the nasty.
I think you can. You mean like just like thigh highs?
Thigh highs, but clip to the garters. Do you think
the actual garters and all that?
Yeah, because there's no Fredericks of Hollywood out where I live. I'm going to have to hit the hood. There might be one around here.
I'm sure in the hood there is.
Yeah.
But even like in the Beverly Center, they have like long... I'm sure you can find one of those. Like,
I got to get that.
You can find it.
Plus, they got like erotica stores here on the boulevard.
Oh, what about Trashy of Hollywood or whatever
that
is?
See, but you have to keep in mind like my schedule is so tight. Like I can only do things when I'm down here in Santa Monica and I'm there a limited time and I'm out in suburbia.
Right.
And it's just not going to be out there.
Yeah. You know that she lives where you work. In the same
Westlake Village, yeah.
Oh,
where do you work?
The Grill on the Alley.
Oh, I eat there all the time.
I've never seen you. Come sit in my station, but bring a lot of money in a tip.
Jay's
my manager.
Jay's a good guy. You tell him Brenda really said funny. Hi. He knows me.
I will.
Yeah, he's funny.
Right,
he's always looking for prop Brenda. He's a funny
That's
guy.
Cool.
He's a nice guy. I love
that
place.
Funny.
And my girlfriends and I hang out there often. I'm glad it reopened. It's nice place.
I only started working there once it reopened. Like, I've been with the company for 10 years, but I transferred over there.
I like the one that's in Beverly Hills. And then I knew about that original one. And then when it opened up there, I was excited. Then it burned down. And then
that's what I was talking about in Hollywood. The Grill in Hollywood. That's what I was talking about with the Kodak Theater.
Yeah,
that they're
exactly.
connected, you know.
It's going to be cool.
So.
Well, I'll come and visit you.
Yeah,
that's the screen that you're out right around the hood. That'll be nice.
Very cool.
Yeah.
There we go.
You see, I know a lot of secret stuff.
And I tip well. Don't worry. I put myself through school, just so you know, with undergrad, grad school. I've worked all my whole life, and my main gig was always cocktail waitressing, or
you know how to tip them.
Then because everywhere I go, I'm like those poor bastards.
Yeah.
I've been there, I've done that.
That's, well, I also give good service, so I kind of deserve my tip. I'd like
you,
to think.
I'm sure deserve it.
Not everybody does. There's some bad servers out there, and being in the industry, I still tip them because. I'm always my family hates going out with me to eat because they're like, she's awful. And I'm like, but look at her. She has that to do and she's that station. And they're asking for this. They're like, we don't care. We're getting bad service. I'm like, I know. And it like kills me inside.
It's
but yeah.
And they could be having a bad day.
Yeah.
And it's a tough industry. It is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
Yeah.
Luckily, I'm so good at it. Like everything else, right, Sam?
Yeah.
Well, I have my ladybugs on Thursdays, every Thursday. So I'll bring in my girls.
Oh, fun.
Meet them. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And they'll try to behave.
So all I have to do is tell Jay Brenda? Just say that?
Yeah, well, just tell him. Just tell him. He knows me.
Okay.
I'll be coming in with the girls probably this Thursday. I'll try and make
it
this Thursday for you.
Exciting. Yay.
That'll be cool.
Yeah, the girls are, and they're well behaved at a restaurant. I just have to beat them a little bit, but that's okay.
Doesn't
you can help me with
them.
That. Oh, I'll tell them I was on the radio with you, and they dig that. They're dying to come in here sometime. I'm like, hell no. But they want to get on air. They think it's a cool thing. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think so, kids. Even though my show is fairly straightforward and clean.
Tame, yeah.
It's very tame because it's, I'm information guru on it. But I got
to
say.
So what do you talk about exactly?
Yeah, tell everybody what your show
is about. Social media, Prof Rennie's show is about technology because I'm a computer apps professor. So any kind of new technology, social media, how it relates. Anybody who's out there with sustainable issues because I've gotten involved with the Environmental Affairs Committee and the sustainability issues on our campus at Santa Monica College. I cover anything. I mean, one of my shows was vasectomies, STDs, and technology. What do they have in common? And I want to do a whole show on STDs because I think it's so important. And so I've got a great OB that's going to come on with a great urologist, and they're really dynamic, fun guys and funny. So I'm going to have them come on. So it's whatever I want
to do. Yeah, that's why I like your show. It's like totally different topics every week.
Yeah, and then I got this guy. I went to this great party, metaphysical, as producer, but he had this metaphysical experience, writes this book, really dynamic, funny, interesting guy, and I'm going to have him come on the show. Metaphysical, how does it tie in? I don't know. His whole message, though, is about people connecting, and the more we connect, the better the world will be. So in a way, it ties to sustainability, and it ties into just being
just
a good person. You know, it's about being a good person.
Well, you should have everybody on your show about being good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, talking about apps and stuff, have you heard of Google Wave?
Oh, some cool stuff is coming up. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, this is supposed to be like an email killer. Okay, yeah. It's supposed to like totally change the way we work and everything. I haven't checked it out yet, but they're making a big hoopla about it.
What can you change about email though? Email is what
it is. Well, no, because it kind of puts like a Facebook inside and everything. I mean, it's just like more. It's like email on steroids or something.
Right.
You know?
It has more apps tied to it, and then so if you're already on Gmail, you're going to kind of tie into that and get some more stuff out there. There's a lot of cool apps.
Just what we need. We don't have enough stuff going on in my brain.
Believe me, it's my life, and I'm tired. I get tired of trying to follow all the new apps, and you kind of sit there going, God. I got somebody coming on tomorrow, and I don't even know. I haven't demoed their product or anything. I don't even know what the hell it is, but I got today to learn it.
Yeah.
But it's a cool app for Twitter, and it's called Twalkin. It is Twalkin.
I'm Twalkin.
And the guys from Twalkin are coming on, but it's all an app related to Twitter and in more interaction between people. And there are a million apps out there for Twitter that are kind of cool. But the cool thing with it is these apps are becoming interface with everything else. So like Posterous.com is where you can go email yourself to a blog that you've created for yourself. With just sending one email, you create a blog for yourself, believe it or not. And then it posts automatically to your Facebook, to your Twitter account, these accounts that you want just by sending one email. And you can put attachments on it. And I was on an interview yesterday with the developers of this thing called Posterous. It's going to take off. Posterous.com.
No, it's definitely cool because everyone's just posting. I do it. I go on one blog, then I do it.
Right, right. No, this is easy. You just slam it in one place, and it's an email you can send from anywhere, or you can go online and do it from there. And they've got what I love about it, and I'm going to get them to come on the show, but what's so cool about it, it's very user-friendly. It tells you exactly step one, step two, step three when you go to their website. So it's not like Twitter where people go on and they go, now what do I do? What the hell's an RT? What is this @ thing? Why am I? What's a direct message?
That was me.
Okay, there's no information from the Twitter unless you're gonna get into the Twitter community and ask. But these people built this site so you can be a total newbie and get it.
Yeah.
And it's brilliantly developed and it's getting stronger and it's becoming at Blogsphere it was one of the hottest things. These founders were like the rock stars of Blogsphere that was in Vegas a few weekends ago. Mm. And so
very cool.
It's hot. Posterous.com. And so I'm trying to get those boys on too.
That's awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's cool. And when you learn more about it, you're just going to be blown away because you're hitting something once and it's going everywhere.
That's great.
And we like that because then you don't have to go to all of your five social media apps.
And post.
Because it gets a little bit redundant, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway.
That's
true. It's a cool one.
Like it's that important to post, you know?
It is because you have different people reading different things.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. If you like to write and, you know,
that's
share.
True. Yeah.
Now, are yours haikus? I read Sam's.
You've been reading Facebook.
And I'm like, are they friggin' haikus? Because you said Sam's got another haiku.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there trying to count the haikus off my memory of what a haiku is. I'm like, I don't think that's a haiku.
No, it wasn't at all.
If he's damn well trying, he's smarter than
I. Yeah, I don't even know what they are.
And my best friend Heather, who's a teacher, when she listened to the show that day, she was like, Sherry, that wasn't a haiku at all. And I'm like, I know. I just couldn't think of what sounded like something, and I couldn't remember. And so now she's made fun of me. So when he posts things that are somewhat poetic, that's why I was like, is that a haiku? Because I knew I was so wrong.
But I do love, you know, on the weekends, I wake up early because the kids always sleep in on the weekdays. Of course, it's school. On the weekends, they're up at 5 a.m., and I'm always looking for Sam's little inspirational, the sun's right. You kind of describe where you're at.
Inspiring?
You do. You're like, I'm having my cup of coffee, and this is what's happening. It's going to be a great day. And it's not too over-the-top, corny bullshit. It's kind of like, it's not. Do you know what I mean? It's not like flowery. No, it's all good. But I like it because it's like, hey,
thank
the
you.
Day's started, and Sam's on board, and let's all get on board with our day. So I kind of look for that on Facebook in the morning.
Wow, that's cool. Thank you.
No, I appreciate it.
Yeah, I never thought anybody reads this
stuff. You inspire without trying,
thank
and I
you,
like
man.
It. I do.
That's
I do.
Cool
I look
thing.
For
you
that.
Made my day.
I
see?
Look for that on the weekends. I need it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Do you see how that feels, though, when you like do that for one person, then you want to like do that for everybody?
That's true. Now I'm going to start doing it every day.
Well, now
sharing
it's
with
get
Sam now.
I told you you were going to have sharing with Sam soon. You're going to have your own corner. I knew it. I'm going to go back and check your prior status updates and see if they were always like that. Or if I'm oozing out on
maybe
you.
Maybe I'm getting inspired.
He's got a little naughties out there. I've seen a few naughties he's posted, but they're all good.
You enjoying Facebook too? You joined rather late, right?
Yeah, it wasn't my thing at first. I was really into Twitter, and then I just, because so many people were encouraging me, and now I got blown up. I already have like 159 friends or something. I didn't even try.
Yeah.
But it's because of my contacts in Twitter were feeding all my other contacts. They wanted to follow me on Facebook, so literally inside of maybe a month, I got a bigger following than I ever expected.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm trying to find cool people that tie into what I have and et cetera. There's some cool stuff.
Do you prefer Twitter?
You know what? Right now, I have more friends that are on Facebook, so I'm Facebooking more just because I know. It's kind of like this. When you're dealing with your friends, you have to know what they use. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if they use Facebook, you're on Facebook for a while and you're doing your Facebook thing. If they're Twitter folks, you're Twitter, you know, you're doing your tweeting.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to appeal to contact my peeps. I have to know what they use.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then there are the peeps out there who don't even know what this shit is, and I got to email them and text them. And God forbid if I have to actually leave a voicemail, because that means they're just a dinosaur.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to be cool with those kind of people and bring them along slowly but surely. But, you know, I laugh.
You know what would be great is if in your email contact list with their name you had what site they were on, and then you could just email them and then it goes to whatever, you know. Well, I guess it could just go to their email. Never mind.
But I mean, no, and then GTalk allows for some of that too, and this Posterous allows for it too. It's kind of a neat way to get all these apps tied in, and I'm trying to get some people that have been very anti all the social media, and I'm like, look, just use it for personal use, if anything. You don't have to use it for your business.
Right,
I realize it
right.
might not tie into what you do and your productivity, but, you know, it's cool to stay in touch with people and kind of make your network. So
yeah,
that's what I meant.
And I definitely suggest to people who are not on Twitter yet and are not really interested, but still go in, you know, sign up and have your name, you know, take your name, you know, reserve your name so nobody else takes it.
Right.
You know?
And keep it short because it's going to count. I mean, those characters count, so you don't want to make it too long. Although Twitter's changing, and they're proposing that the at reply, the at symbol with the person's name, is not going to count against your 140 characters, nor will any like redirects, the URLs that people say, go see this.
Right.
They give a little brief teaser, and then they say, go see this bit.ly link, whatever. That might not count either towards your 140 characters. So your 140, that's coming. They say
so
that
you'll be able to write more.
Right. So you can write more.
I have trouble keeping it short.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't. Like, you talk like I do, but I'm learning, you know, how to shorten every word, but keep it under 140. And the funny thing is with men, it works better because that's why
less.
Men really like to text and men like to do Twitter.
That's because they talk like cavemen.
They do.
Want sex.
Yes. And they don't want to talk a lot, you know, and they don't want to, you know, get on the phone with me because I talk their friggin' ear off.
You clean dishes. Suck my dick. Wagoo, wagoo, wagoo. Okay, I'm done with my caveman talk.
We get the idea.
But
I know,
well,
I can just keep going. Thank you.
I like it.
All right, Brendy. So go ahead and plug your show again.
Okay, Prof. Brendy's show. So we've got sustainability. We've got social media. We've got technology. We've got a lot of cool stuff, and it's on tomorrow at 6, but then following it'll be on at noon on Wednesdays.
Yes, so look for Prof. Brendy. Thank you so much for joining
us.
Yeah,
thanks, sir. It was a
blast.
You're
always
You're
a lot
fun.
Of fun.
You guys are fun, too.
We love having you come in.
And I get to show my other side on this show. I can't do it so much on my show, but this is a blast. I had a good time.
Well, we've seen your front side. Next time, we'll see your back side.
We like that. And when we throw a little vodka in, you might see more than you want.
Or I'll be joining you on the table.
Remind me to bring some vodka.
Okay.
It's going to be in your water bottle tomorrow.
I am so listening into that show if I can't be here.
All right. Sherry, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great sharing with Sherry today.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It was inspirational.
Although I don't remember a thing
I know,
said.
You never do.
No, it's about love and the heart, and it's all good.
I do. I'm just kidding.
I'm not offended. It's expected from you. Have a good day, Sam.
All right. See you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Have been listening to Sam and Sherry in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question or comment for the show, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Sherry in the Morning is a production of